How long will we be on?
2 hours.
Yeah, this is a 3-hour.
We got limitless time now, right?
Yeah. That voice is Jason Leisure. Old school fans of the Shipping Container led local hour know exactly who Jason Leisure is. If you're new to the gathering, Jason Leisure used to work down in South Florida covering the Miami Dolphins, and we needed some credibility when we first started doing the local hour because, I mean, look at us, right? It's not exactly like we have Dan's credentials attached to us. So we needed Jason Leisure to really help guide us through that Dolphin season. He wrote our coattails to a promotion in Chicago. He works for the Chicago Sun-Times. He covered the Blackhawks, and now he has been promoted, and he is on the Bears beat. Jason, it's been a minute. Welcome back.
Yeah.
It is good to be back, man, from my basement. Do you guys know what a basement is?
No, we don't have basements down here.
Okay. Well, they do here, and it's like more room to your house, but all of it is gross. It's like cold and kind of dank and covered in spiders. Basement is where spiders love to live. So it's super cool that we have basements up here.
Is it too cold for spiders? I don't really know what the bug situation is in colder climates. I know what it is down here in South Florida, and we get the palmetto bugs, and it's assy hot. I imagine a basement would be assy hot if we were allowed to have basements in Miami, but it's too flat. What's the bug situation like outside of the spiders? How big are the spiders?
Well, the bug situation here is nothing like Florida. I mean, between living in Miami and a few years in Gainesville, for me, like, I've never seen alien type bugs and wildlife like I did when I lived in Florida. But it's really just like normal looking spiders, common spiders, nothing special here. But they do all love to live in your basement. They're all outside, you know, like the rest of us in Chicago, starting in about, I don't know, late September, just looking to stay warm.
I found out now through Google that spiders are actually cold-blooded. They don't shiver, get uncomfortable when it's cold. They just become less active and eventually dormant. And they also have an antifreeze in their body that protects them. Temperatures up to -5°C.
What?
That's the first time you've interjected with something in the entire time I've been part of the show that I actually enjoyed hearing.
Thank you, Jason. It's good.
Congratulations
to hear you too.
For that.
Welcome back to the Jason Billy dynamic. We have to address the elephant in the room, and it's actually not that dynamic, oddly enough, because it's not the most uncomfortable relationship you've had on the air with us. The last time you joined us, Jason, it was during a David Samson show. Congratulations on your SUI nomination.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but you were a SUI.
Congratulations on what?
A SUI nomination. Do you know? Are you familiar?
Oh, you
with
guys
that?
Still do that?
Yeah, we do the SUI.
This guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
You finished second.
You lost, though.
Oh. All right. Well, that's not as good.
Yeah.
What do I get? Do I get like an Applebee's gift card or something? Or
I think Angel Resso sends out a tweet. I think
take
that's
the family out.
I think Angel Resso makes a GIF, and that's your.
So you guys still? So you still do the SUI awards?
Yeah.
So that's parts the same. I haven't quite followed as much as I should. Are you guys still, does anyone hear this, or are we just like recording this for Mike's private collection?
So
I mean, this guy's he's off to quite a start here.
I know, Chris.
Do we still even like pretend that Dan is part of this, or is Dan totally checked out of this part of the show?
He's sitting here listening.
Yeah, he's doing that thing.
So we do still pretend. Okay,
yes.
Good. All right.
So let me give you a quick refresher.
Sure, yes.
We went from $7.90 the ticket to $7.90 the ticket saying they didn't want the local hour led by the Shipping Container anymore.
Because it was so good, probably, Mike. It was too good. They didn't want it anymore.
It was
we also didn't have enough Jason Leisure. They're like,
too hot.
You guys haven't,
too hot.
You haven't
too
had Jason Leisure on. You haven't had Leisure on in like 6 months. I think we're going to take you off radio.
Yeah. Mm. And then the entire show got moved to 560 QAM, which is no longer called 560 QAM. It's called 560 The Joe.
But this was a joke. I so thought that was a joke when I first heard that.
But Jason's been on
I also thought maybe they named it after Joe Rose.
I think so. I think
they might have.
I think that's part of it. Wait, was the Joe move before the Super Bowl, Billy?
Yes. Yeah, that was like in July or August last year.
I am having a difficult time in terms of establishing a timeline. In so many respects, it's been the longest year of all our lives, but we don't have these like seminal benchmark moments like, oh, I took that trip in the summer. Oh, I went to this concert back then. All the days are exactly the same for so many of us
Yes.
That when you get altitude on the situation, you're like, what March felt just like August.
Yes.
But my daughter turned 1 year old, and I felt every second of that year. It was a legitimate year, but I don't have these seminal moments. Jason, now that you're covering the Bears, so many seminal moments for that great franchise. Everyone believes in them. They're atop their division. They have found their quarterback, it seems, here for the foreseeable future. What's it like covering a winner?
Well, finally, Mike, finally, if you ask me. This is the same, man. This is like, I think this is the one reason that people in South Florida might want to hear about what it's like with the Bears is because it's exactly the same. And I know things are going a little better and a little more interesting for the Dolphins this year because of Tua and because they were winning a little bit. But like my entire career has been just this drudgery of football, like some of the worst football you've ever seen. The first year I ever covered the Dolphins, you have to go way back. It was Cleo Lemon and Joey Harrington and Dante Culpepper with one leg. And then I went and did a bunch of other things and covered UF and the Heat and stuff like that. And then I come back and it's like Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback now. And oh, no, he's not one of these other guys. He's like, he is the man. He is the franchise quarterback. And you go from him to like camera crews at the airport for fat retired Jay Cutler showing up. Like we had like helicopters out for that. That was like a major event in South Florida, and it went really, really well too, by the way. Until like what, a couple months after that, you got Brocktober. Now all of a sudden that's what we're excited about is Brock Osweiler. And then you end the season with a quarterback named Fails. Literally his name is that he fails. And that guy's played for the Bears and the Dolphins, by the way. So this is my entire career. Then I get here to Chicago. And they got a franchise quarterback, too. They got their own Tannehill, just a little bit younger. And it's the same. It's Trubisky and Chase Daniel. And no, don't worry now. Now we got Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles. And people here, man, like when you're in Miami, I feel like this kind of rant or whatever you want to call it goes over well because everybody's like, yeah, we know. We see it, too. When you do it here, they're like, hey, lay off Trubisky. No, Trubisky's the future. Well, until he's not. And then, hey, don't. Foles is going to turn it around. Foles is the Super Bowl MVP. So like they don't my negativity is really not going over well up here.
I think the real question is, are you capable of covering a good quarterback?
In football? No.
Yeah, like it seems like you might be the issue. Cause I think people thought Trubisky was good. Tannehill seemed to get really good as soon as you went to Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here?
Well, I'm not superstitious, so I don't think that is the case. But I do think maybe, you know, it's like God's protecting me because like I'm not ready yet. I'm not seasoned enough to cover a Mahomes type quarterback,
right?
Or Lamar Jackson, you know, somebody fun. Like this is what I can handle now.
Even the Dolphins got Tua now that you're gone. We thank you for leaving. We finally have someone that we think's a good quarterback.
You've been the issue the whole time.
Yeah. Do you know that like covering a football team now is probably worse than it's ever been? Like not only is it really a chore to sit through these games, but during the week is not great either, because just like, you know, you guys don't enjoy doing the show probably on Zoom the way you do it on in person, but we're also covering the team on Zoom. So we're doing all these interviews on Zoom, and football players, man, on the list of things they care about in life, doing media interviews is not even on the list. And I was hoping that maybe with doing this on Zoom, it would be easier. It would get better. We would get guys more often. It's not like that at all. What we're getting is guys like doing it from their phone as they drive home from the facility, which is not super safe for one, but you're also like, that's not a joke. That's not an exaggeration. We've also gotten a guy, I think just yesterday it's hard, Mike, like you said, the days run together. We got a guy while he was getting a massage. Like a few months ago, we got Khalil Mack while he's riding his Peloton. And everybody is like at home, by the way. He ran a couple errands, picked up his dry cleaning and went home before he did media interviews for the day at like 7 o'clock at night. He's doing it from his Peloton, and Khalil Mack works a little harder on a Peloton than the rest of us probably. And so he's like huffing the whole time and sweating, and you'd ask him a question and he's like, well, I think, and some people were like, oh, isn't this cool? We're like celebrities. They're just like us. We're getting Khalil Mack on his Peloton. Like, do you not realize this is like one step above him doing it like while he's eating a plate of lasagna? or doing it like from the toilet or something like that. Like, this is not him caring about what we're doing. So in every way, this has made things worse.
You might be confused when you look around the Zoom because we've added to our cast. Allison has moved up to the Northeast, and now we have Anthony Kalatayud, a.k.a. Tony, here on the Zoom. Have you guys ever met Jason?
Oh, man, that's what a horrible question to ask me, because the answer is probably yes, but I don't remember.
No, the answer is no, Jason. How are you? My name's
Anthony. Oh, thank God.
Okay, great to meet good. You, man.
Yeah.
So maybe we have met, and you're the one that doesn't remember. Maybe you're the one sliding me.
You know what? Maybe.
So
we're doing this on Zoom. I can see in Chris's house, by the way, and his daughter just came running up to him. Chris, the audacity of you to do this in the middle of your house at 6 a.m. or whatever time it is. Like, you didn't think to like go to a basement or a side room, or I saw from the beginning you were going to be doing this right in your living room and waking up your entire house to do this.
Well, they're all up. Thank you for pointing that out. They just left, if you heard the door shut. So now they're gone for the day. So just quiet the rest of the way. But yeah, this is... I do have like a kind of a house that looks big, but there aren't, I don't have my office really set up yet. I've only been here a year. Get off my back. And, you know, it's, I'm just figuring it out, man. Yes, I'm in my living room.
Jason,
go ahead, Mike.
You were talking about doing stuff over Zoom. Are you allowed to actually go to the stadium, Soldier Field, for the games? What about your job is still the same, just with increased COVID protocols?
That's the only part. That is the only part, is like, I still go to the games. And even like the Sun-Times is such a sports driven paper, which is a really fun place to work. I mean, we're sending multiple people. We're sending 3 people to games last season when they're in London, they're in LA. We would go anywhere to cover the Bears. And now we've cut it back to, we're just sending like one guy to road games. So, you know, my coworkers and I divide those up. And I went just the other day to Charlotte for the first time. And it's really weird, man. Cause like, I don't fly right now. I don't want to fly right now. So I drove from here to Charlotte, which is like 12 hours. Wow. And you sit there in the game, you sit there at the game kind of by yourself. You don't really talk to anybody. And then after the game, you do the press conferences on Zoom. So that's the only part, is actually being at the stadium is the only part that's normal. But even that's not normal, because I know that they let people in the Dolphins stadium because everything's legal in Florida. Who cares? But most of the rest of the country doesn't do that. Most of the rest of the country, it's empty stadiums with this, like laugh track or whatever you want to call it, of crowd noise.
What's the benefit of being there, like on a game, as opposed to doing it from home? If you don't have the access anyways, like you're just doing it on Zoom. So what difference does it make if you're at the stadium or if you're at home, where at home you might actually see things better on the TV?
Yeah. I mean, and the best thing about being there in general is the open locker room. When they open the locker room, you can go get anybody you want. And they're not doing that this entire year at practice or games, any of the NFL teams. But you see things when you're there that you wouldn't be able to see on TV. I mean, you get to see things that happen on the sidelines that they don't show. You get to see what's going on with injuries that they don't show. So there is still some benefit to being there.
You mentioned the laugh track that they play at the games. So that's not just for TV. They actually play that in the stadium.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Is the one they play in the, do they play like a one? I could picture them doing one in the Dolphin stadium where every now and then you hear like a Jets chant going on, even if the Jets aren't playing.
I actually haven't attended a sporting event during this time. I'm slated to go to Saturday night.
Yeah, probably because you're smart. Yeah. You probably want to live.
I'm going to Saturday night's game, actually, at Hard Rock Stadium as a part of my Miami Hurricanes season ticket package. Since they're cutting down capacity, they were basically saying, hey, 3 games. So I'm gonna give this a shot. I feel like it's going to feel pretty eerie. Is that the vibe that you get when you're at these games?
Yeah, and the eeriest part when you're at these games, where the game I went to in Charlotte the other day, they did have fans. And by the way, like, I live in Illinois, and Illinois is very cautious. Our governor has done a pretty good job, I think, as far as that part of it's concerned. And you can argue what you want on the economic side of it, but like, we're pretty safe, I feel like, relatively to. And then when just this past weekend when I went to Charlotte, is the first time I've left the state pretty much during the pandemic. And man, is it different. Man, when you leave here, and I'm sure Florida is, it would be even more shocking. But like when you go into Indiana and Ohio and I walked into these places. I took my kids with me to Charlotte because we have friends there that we stayed with. And we would walk into like a gas station in Indiana, for example. And there'd be the sign on the door that says mask required by order of the governor. I'm like, okay, good. Like there's some sense here. So we walk in with masks. We're the only ones in there wearing masks. Even the people that work there aren't wearing masks. They're looking at us like we walked in with spacesuits on, which honestly, once I saw that no one in Indiana was wearing masks, I probably wish I had a spacesuit. That'd be a little safer.
That's kind of the way the West Coast of Florida is here. I took a trip just to get away a couple weeks ago on the West Coast. And the West Coast, not a ton of people wearing masks, but a 12-hour trip with your, because you said you drove with your kids.
Yeah.
That's not, I'm sure your kids are lovely, but just that sounds like a real taking.
You know, it actually, I'm not going to give you the answer that you want because it was actually pretty nice. My kids got along really well. They were very pleasant. We actually had a really nice day in the car.
Jason,
look at you. Look
Jason, at you. You've told us that in your history, the most fun you've had actually doing your job was covering the Miami Heat.
So, oh, yeah, that's true.
So, well, I don't know what fun is for you. Like, I think you're, what's your fun scale? Like 1 to 3?
That was the most, no, you are absolutely right. I'm just, I'm kind of impressed that you remember that because that is the most fun job I've ever had in my life, was covering the Heat for 3 seasons. And it's, I would have kept doing it, no doubt about it, except for the fact that that schedule is really, really tough if you want to be involved in your family at all, if you want to have a wife and kids. So 3 seasons of that was really fun. And I wasn't even there for the best years. My first year there was the last year of the Big Three. The year after that, they didn't even make the playoffs. The year after that, it started to get a little more fun. I'm sure you guys remember, they went to the second round. And that was the year, I think that was the year they got Dragic. So it was really fun. And I'm sure what you want to talk about is them making the finals. It's been so long since I covered that team that there aren't really that many guys left. I think Dragic, Haslam, is there anyone else that would have been around like still in 2016, I think was my last season. I mean, Spoelstra is still there. Dan Craig, the coaching staff is largely still there. Juwan Howard, I know, moved on, but that was really fun to cover because basketball is so much fun to cover. There were so many good personalities at that time. And I don't think I totally realized this at the time, but the Heat are one of the gold standards of sports as far as an organization. I mean, I knew that they were great, but now that I've covered some other teams, like, you know, other teams, we'll just say, they're like the Patriots of basketball, where they get these guys, they draft guys, and picking what was Tyler Hero picked?
It's like in the teens, 13, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So that's like the equivalent of like a 6th round pick in football. Like that's not even, that draft pick's not even, Pat Riley usually staples 2 of those to Danny Granger and trades them for an all-star. but it's not surprising that they would get a guy like Tyler Hero or a guy like Duncan Robinson or
Adebayo was also in the teens.
Yeah. And it's the same thing that they always do. They draft these guys like Josh Richardson, and even Justice Winslow was, I think, like the 10th pick. They draft these guys that other people don't quite see the same potential in, or they sign these free agents who have washed out. And you know that every guy that they get is at least going to get a chance. That guy is at least going to get in the best shape he's ever been in physically. He's going to play the best defense of his entire career, which, you know, for some guys, it's not really asking that much. And he's going to shoot corner threes. And they just work that system. Like, they know what they want to get. They know how to develop it. And then Spoelstra knows how to coach that and put that together. So it is fun to watch them. And I have a lot greater appreciation for how they operate as an organization now than I did when I covered them. And I really enjoyed watching them throughout the playoffs. And so did my kids. I mean, my kids grew up in Miami, so I wouldn't say that they're Heat fans, but they enjoyed watching them too.
All I heard there was that your first year covering the Heat was the last year of the Big Three era, and that you're to blame for that, the whole thing blowing up. Like, they finally lost. They had 1-2 in a row. Jason comes aboard. They lose, and then the whole thing blows up. Wait, like, what's going on with you?
That's
fair.
There's a leisure curse because you left town, and the Heat make their way back to the finals.
You know, people don't even know that I covered University of Florida, too.
And they're good.
Like, I got there right after Tebow left. Like, I could list the quarterbacks that played for them when I was there. You guys wouldn't even remember. You probably don't even remember who coached them that year, those years. And then after I left, I think they started to get good again. Aren't they ranked again? So, yeah, it's like the story of my career. I got there after they had the good basketball teams, too, although they stayed good for a little while.
You get to Chicago and you cover the Blackhawks.
Yeah, there we go, Mike. Right on time.
They're a perennial winner. And then you get there and it seems as though it's the end of that Coors run. I want to get Roy involved here because historically, Roy, correct me if I'm wrong, stingy ownership for the Chicago Blackhawks. I remember when I was growing up, they wouldn't even allow for home games to be on TV over there. The Blackhawks are considered, you have like 3 teams. Correct me if I'm wrong, Roy. Panthers, Blackhawks, and Sabres.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So we have someone here that covered the Blackhawks. What is the deepest, darkest secret that you want exposed of that franchise?
Right now, they seem to be breaking up, but the core is still there. But they are not happy about what's going on with how they're handling the rebuild. So what's going on right now with how the team's handling things with the old guard?
Well, it's like when you see those old bands that like your parents like and they're still touring, where like you can still go, you can still go, you can still buy a ticket and you can still go to the United Center and you can watch all the guys. You can watch, well, Corey Crawford just left, but you can still watch Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith, all the stars of yesterday still playing today.
So it's like a Kiss concert.
It's exactly like a Kiss concert every night. And that was the most, that was one that hit Chicago like a storm when those guys were good. And they took over the city. I mean, those guys are celebrities. Those guys are famous in Chicago forever because of what happened. And then I get there and they're like fifth out of fifth. They're like less important than the White Sox. Nobody wants to read this. Nobody wants to read about hockey and people in Chicago don't want to talk about the Blackhawks. So it's a great choice by you guys that you're doing that on a national show in a non-hockey market in, like Miami.
I mean, you came up with the analogy though that the Blackhawks are like Kiss, but I also want to do another local tie. You mentioned the White Sox. You had a local team play against a former local team of yours, the Miami Marlins, continue their dominance over the Chicago Cubs in the postseason. Right. How did that fly, getting swept by the Miami Marlins?
With the people in Chicago? People in Chicago have been the Cub fans, man. The Cub fans are really, of all the fans in Chicago, the Cub fans are really something because they went like 100 years without winning, and then they won, and now they think they're supposed to win all the time. And I don't really listen to sports radio very much, but I happened to be listening to it one day last football season. I was driving into Soldier Field for a game, and it was the morning that they fired Joe Maddon. And I'm listening, and people are calling in saying, like, oh, good, I can't believe we finally got rid of Maddon. He was the problem. Like, I mean, it's insane. The guy that led them to their first – or the guy that, like, managed them, I guess. I mean, a computer can manage a baseball team now, but you could – He was the reason that ended the drought, and now they're just calling in, like, couldn't be happier to be rid of him. Good riddance.
What about the White Sox? I know, like we're just doing, like, let's get the pulse of all the
Chicago
sports.
The pulse
sports
of Chicago team. Right now. I mean,
we can go through all the teams if you want. I mean, I could tell you about our trip to the beach here.
Rick Renteria, yes, go Rick Renteria instead.
Oh, beach,
Rick Renteria. Beach after. Beach after. First, Rick Renteria. I need your thoughts on Rick Renteria getting fired, of course, and then we can get your
and then beach.
And then okay. Bulls.
And then the Bulls.
Yeah.
Everything's going the right way with those teams, though. The White Sox had a good year, and I don't really know all the ins and outs. I don't cover them, so I don't know really any better than you guys do what's going on with their manager. They were going to hire Tony La Russa. He kind of looks like your dad, Chris.
He does.
Like, nowadays, he does. Like, uh-huh. And I also, I think, you know, I would have been more excited if they were hiring your dad.
Mattingly starting to look like your dad, Chris. And Jeffrey Loria definitely looks like your dad.
Yeah. Yes. It's like a hybrid of all.
All right, now to Billy's topic, the beach.
Oh, yes. So we have beaches up here. And they're just like Florida's, except that they're in Gary, Indiana, and they're surrounded by factories and covered in used needles. But other than that, they're exactly the same.
Wait a minute.
It's very nice.
Wait. I know I'm an idiot, but can you have a beach? I thought the beaches need to be on the coasts.
They got lakes.
They do. They do. Chris is right. They do. That's what an actual beach is.
I was real nervous saying that. I was like, wait, where's Illinois? I was thinking that I was like.
But we do have Lake Michigan, and we pretend here that that's a beach, even though it's pretty much like unbearable other than the absolute middle of summer because the water is so cold.
Yeah, what temp is the water in August? Because that is when it gets really hot in Chicago summers. So what qualifies as hot for Lake Michigan? Like 62 degrees?
Yes. Yeah, something like that. Like still too cold where only your kids want to get in. Because you know if you've taken your kids to the beach or the pool even or something like that, they'll get in no matter what. But I don't want to get in unless it's like you know, how Gulf of Mexico is, or how like Sunny Isles or something like that is in the summer, where it's like you get in and it's like the same as outside, or it's like stepping into a bathtub. That's it for me on the beach. So it was not a good, not a real exciting, thrilling trip. That's like the travel. That's the big exciting trip we've done during the pandemic, Mike, was drove to the beach in Gary, Indiana.
What lake? I'm sorry. What lake touches Gary, Indiana? I'm not great.
Lake Michigan.
Lake Michigan is that massive?
Yeah. You can see Chicago from it. You can see the skyline from it. Like you can see where you would rather be, right from that beach.
When's the last time Jason Leisure wore a Speedo?
Oh man, when I was a kid, I remember having one when I was a kid. I don't know if that was like a normal kid swimsuit or if my parents were weird, but I remember having one as a kid. Did you guys have Speedos when you were kids?
I don't think I mean, maybe when I was like, you know, like 3 or 4 and I don't remember, but not
had the weird one.
Roy had one.
Yeah, Roy had a new
one 2 years ago. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, he really filled that thing out.
Baby. Jeez.
Jason, we never actually got into the David Samson awkward moment and what happened afterwards.
Okay.
With the benefit of hindsight.
What happened afterward?
Yeah. Well,
you mean like how my wife left me and I've been in despair?
Now you're in a basement.
Yeah.
This
is where I live now. It's too complicated because we bought a house together and we have kids, but this is where I live now.
Yep. In the court filing, she's
been a lot of fallout from that, Mike.
She's cited.
If only you had been nicer to David.
I'll tell you what.
That's what the
you might have a point.
That's
you might
what your
have
book's going to be called. That's what your book's going to be called. If only I was nicer to David.
Yeah, say that joke 5 more times, Chris.
Zoom.
If you go after David Samson and the people rally behind him, you really got to take a hard look at yourself. So, you know, I've been doing some thinking.
It is certainly a moment of introspection. You could double down on it the way that Ariel Helwani has, because it was weird. David Samson does this thing where he ends up winning because he's calm. And he's just sort of taken aback by people's like toxic reaction to him, which is, I think, merited given his track record. But
oh, now you think it's merited. But thank you, Mike. Thanks for speaking up now, 6 months later.
A little heavy-handed that day. A little heavy-handed.
Is this the part where you guys like bring him in and you're like, gotcha?
No. I never want to relive that moment ever again.
I think the part that kind of encapsulates the whole conversation was him saying, Jason, just meet me and then form your decision about me. I have met you and I don't like you.
Yeah, you alluded to like some sort of bad interaction that you had previously with David Samson that he had no recollection of. As we go behind the music here, what were you alluding to?
Oh, no, that wasn't it. It was just like we probably met in passing or when I was covering the Marlins for a day or something like that. No, it was more an objection to his career.
Just as a whole?
Yes.
Yeah, nothing in particular, really. It's just
ripping off the entire place that I love for so long,
right?
In Miami. That's all.
That's a particular.
It's nothing personal.
It's the Shipping Container, freaking with you on a Friday. It's the second segment, but I brought that back for Jason Leisure because I know he likes it. Jason, I have two things I want to talk to you about. I got to go deep dish pizza with you, but we can get to that in a second. You have this awkward red bin right to your left that's in your shot. I'm just like curious, like what's in it? Like what's going on with it? Like it's just like staring me in the face. Like I know this is radio and nobody can see it, but what's going on with that bin?
So I'm in my basement right now. I'm not doing this in the middle of my house like you, or I can't tell if Roy is doing that as well, but like my wife and kids are asleep because it's 6 a.m. here and I prefer to let them sleep. But in my basement, that's where I've stored a bunch of stuff. And it's actually a bin of like things from my childhood it's baseball cards and things like that.
Oh,
that
wow.
Yeah. It's like a museum of the 90s, of 90s baseball and NBA down here.
Guys, is that what you're grabbing if there's, you know, like a fire or something? Are you running down to that basement and you're grabbing that bin?
Yes. I have like a raft tied to the underside of it in case it floods so that it will float and be safe. Yes.
guys, I found a thread for this second segment, and I definitely want to get to your deep dish pizza topic with a Chicago expert. That's on ground that's never been covered. But
can I just spare us of that? Like, for one, it's dumb, and for two, I don't really like deep dish pizza.
That's what I was going to say. That was my take.
We've
covered that. Then that's good.
No one's ever done bringing a Chicago expert to talk about deep dish pizza. We're going to do that. I promise you. But I think. I think we have a thread for this second segment.
Show and tell.
Everyone loves an unboxing. Do it. There's this whole like YouTube community of people that just open presents for an audience and they get millions of views. You said that this is basically a time capsule of the 90s. We're all 90s kids here. What is in that crate?
Well, it's a lot of cards. It would be a tough thing to like to really do. And this is a great bit for radio too, but all right, here's the first thing I found. It's some Atlanta Braves cards, like from the year they won the World Series. So I got like Chipper Jones.
Wait, those are massive cards.
Yeah, it's some kind of special edition thing. It's like the size of, it's like 5x7.
Do you have a Mark
Chipper
Lemke?
Chipper Jones, Tom Glavine, Mark Wohlers, John Schmoltz, Greg Maddux, Fred McGriff, Javi Lopez, David Justice, Steve Avery. No Mark Lemke. Sorry, Mark. Mike.
What else is in the time capsule?
I found this. I mean, this is a baseball from a Little League game I pitched. Do you guys want to hear about this?
Yeah. Did you look like the MVP?
I pitched a playoff game when I was, 93. So I was 9 years old. I have my stat line written on this, if I can read it.
If it's not a no-hitter, I don't know why we're keeping the
ball. It's pretty good for a 9-year old, but it's also very confusing because I pitched the whole game, 6 innings. That was a full game back then. 2 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk. So you're thinking that's a great game, right?
Quality
and it says
start.
At the bottom, it says final score 18-11.
So your bullpen.
Yeah, what happened? No, I pitched the whole game.
That's right. But,
lots of errors, it seems.
I guess. I like that. Probably not, though. I like that 9-year-old me had the guts to write 2 earned runs on a game when he gave up 11.
That's hey,
errors, man. Well,
that's only your two, official score.
That's right. Only 2 of those runs are earned, baby.
We need to dig up the stat line there. I think that there's some inaccuracies in your score keeping as a 9-year-old. Is there anything else of note within the red crate that we should revisit?
There's all kinds of stuff down here, Mike. But I honestly what happened is this stuff has been sitting here for like 6 months. A lot of my stuff from when I was a kid, I don't know if this has happened to you guys yet, but a lot of stuff from when I was a kid was at my parents' house, my mom's house and my dad's house. And we lived in Miami and we rented the whole time we were in Miami. We lived in an apartment or a townhouse or whatever. And you don't have basements in Miami. And it was like the second I came up here and bought a house, my dad's like, "Hey, when are you going to come get all your stuff?" And I was like, I kind of liked where it was at your house. What do you need it out for, Dad? Like, what are you going to do? You're remodeling the basement? He's like, "No, I just want it out." It's your problem now.
Yeah, that's
you guys, have you guys had to do that?
Yeah,
I had to,
but
haul all this stuff out of my house, out of my dad's house. And it's like, now it's in my basement. And I kind of preferred it being at my dad's house. And that was 6 months ago. And I still haven't taken care of it, any of it, as you can see.
I know exactly what you're talking about. But once again, I'll clue the national audience into my relationship with my dad. You know how like your dad is telling you to get your stuff out of his house?
I don't, and I'm afraid of where
this
is headed.
Okay.
Opposite for me. My dad had all of his shit at my house in my garage for 10 years. As I finally moved out of my place, and for 10 years, I was legitimately trying to get 8 boxes of DVDs that solely belonged to him out of my garage.
Like what?
He was a big cinephile. He was a DVD collector, and he just kept them all because he has a garage too. It always infuriated me. He's like,
you sound like how my dad felt. Yeah,
he had a garage. He had a townhome. His townhome was the same size as my townhome, but he insisted on keeping all these things in my garage. My water heater, while I was living at my old townhome, broke, and the entire garage flooded. And all the water went to all those cardboard boxes that were holding these DVDs. So it was just disgusting, musty. Surprisingly, no spiders. Upset of the century. But he refused to get them out of my house. I basically had to hire the movers that did my normal move. And they added a stop, which was just parking it in his own garage. I had to add a stop to the route. That's just my dad.
Jason, are you okay? I thought you were frozen for a second, Jason.
I just part of this exchange, Chris is listening. So I was doing that.
Yeah, processing.
It was Mike's turn to talk. Yeah.
Well, I feel like it's.
Let's just let him go ahead, Chris. Let's do deep dish pizza and hot dogs. Come on, go ahead.
Jason, do you have a dog?
Italian sausage. I actually have two dogs, which would never have been probably my choice, but we are. The kids might be able to hear me, so I'll say this quietly. We are in transition on the dogs.
Oh no.
Well, we have one that's older, and so we adopted.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Billy. Go ahead. No, Say something insensitive real quick. Go ahead.
No, I thought the dogs were going to run away, but it's because one dog is older and the other dog is kind of coming in.
To be serious for a second, like, I don't know what you're supposed to do in this situation because, like, I enjoy having dogs. I was not a dog person. I love having a dog, but I'm not, I understand what happens with dogs. And I was like, how do I deal with this? How do I bring this up? Like, you know, because I'm thinking like we should probably get another dog. Should we wait? Do we do that now? Do we do that later? And fortunately, my wife was like brought it up. So I was like, I'm like sweating out how to deal with this. And she brought it up and like, I was like, that's a freebie. Good. She wanted to get another dog, which getting a dog, adopting a dog, even a rescue dog, was apparently really tough to do. I wasn't really involved in this process, but like I would have thought it'd been easy to adopt a stray or a rescue dog or something, but during the pandemic, I guess everybody was doing it. So they were hard to find. That's great, I guess, for the dogs as long as all those people are serious about it.
How's the older dog treating it? Because like before had a Dalmatian, right? And then the Dalmatian was getting older, and then my sister got a dog, and the younger dog. There were times where the younger dog like gave life to the older dog, and you see like, oh, it's like all spirited now. Yeah. It's like running around and whatever. But at the same time, it was like tormenting it sometimes because you could tell like the older dog's like, I don't have time for any of this stuff. Like, leave me alone. Right. And now it's been like 15 years since that happened. And I got a young dog. And now the dog that was young at the time bothering the older dog has like gotten that role where it's the older dog that's getting bothered by the younger dog. So how is the dynamic between your two dogs? Like, do they get along or does the other older one have no time?
It's more like what you said. The older one tolerates the younger one. Yeah. The younger one is, we have all this stuff from my dad's house, all these old baseball cards and everything like that. We got the dog like during that last 6 months and, we named the dog Griffey. What do you think of that for a dog's name?
What kind of dog is it?
I like it.
It's a rescue dog. It's black. It's like maybe 40 pounds. It's like a part collie or something. I'm not good at the stuff. I don't know the different kinds of dog breeds. My wife and kids are the ones that really do all the dog stuff. I'm happy to have the dog, and I enjoy dogs, but it's not really my department.
You seem to be someone that might be very direct with your children when the dogs pass on.
Yeah, I'm learning not to do that as much. That's a challenge. Like, I've learned that my personality needs a little bit of work as far as parenting goes.
Have you considered
the dog's dead? You're never going to see it again. Time to flush it down the toilet.
Yeah. That's kind of how we envision that one going. Have you considered rehearsing?
I'm hoping to just like delay. That still may be a while off. I hope that it is.
How old are your kids?
Kids or dogs?
The kids.
9 and 6.
All right. So you can't exactly make up some sort of fabrication about, decided to go.
Oh
to a
gosh.
Farm.
No, not at all. They're 9 and 6, but they're like mentally like, 28 and 27. Yeah.
Do you cry?
Yes. Sometimes.
So like if the dog, when the dog gets to that point, is
cried
it
a lot
be like
after that Samson interview? I'll tell you that.
So did I.
You want to know something that maybe you don't want to hear, but when you were saying that you grew up in the 90s, I'm like, man, I have no idea how old Jason is. So I started Googling to see if I could find like your date of birth. And I just put in Jason Leisure. And the second thing that came up on Google search was Jason Leisure, David Samson. I was like, oh no, this is unfortunate.
That's fun. Okay. Well, 36 to answer your question.
I figured it out when you were saying you were 9 And then you said that you were born in 83. I started doing the math in my head. I'm like, how old was that 9-year-old who pitched that 2 earned run game that actually was 11 runs?
9 unearned runs, but great math there, Billy. Like, that's like beautiful mind type material right there. Like, you guys need to write a big complicated math equation in the studio and see if Billy comes down and solves it.
The thing is, you can only see this wall's blank, but all my other walls just have scribbles on them from the show.
Just equations, like calculus stuff. Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out the things that are going on in the world, Jason.
How have you hung on this long, Billy? Like, what bit are you doing now that's keeping you on the show? What are you doing now that's keeping you on the show?
No, I couldn't even answer that. I don't even know.
It was the Marlins season for a while. Like, he was super excited about that Marlins run and sweeping the Cubs. Granted, it's a playoff round that we've never seen before, but people try to take away the shine. But the bottom feeders. Did you buy a lot of merch, Billy, with the bottom feeders?
No, I bought a bottom feeder shirt, and then I was going to buy. The thing is, like, the stadium store and stuff isn't open. I think it was open for like 2 days. And I'm not going to go to like a Lids or like a Champs or something right now. So now I'm kind of just waiting until it goes on sale like at the end of the year. And then I'll just get it like 60% off or something. Or I just won't get it. And then I'll be like, I should have bought it earlier. But I'm fine.
Billy,
I guess the bit that I'm doing now that's keeping me on is just talking to people about dogs and life and how. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, the bright chipper stuff. Billy, from what I've gathered, though, you're playing it extra cautious. Now, obviously, Florida's opening up more and more. So people have all these protocols, and there's supposed to be distancing and there's masks. I've been venturing out a little bit more, trying to adhere to distancing and mask, and I haven't gotten burned, and I'm going to this Hurricanes game. I don't think you would ever go to a Hurricanes game. Where are you in terms of like re-entering society, and you're just not at all interested?
No. I'll wait. We'll see how these things play out a little bit. I don't need to be the first one to anything. Let's give it a couple months, and then we'll see, you know, how many people end up back in their houses, and I'll just be here like, you know what? I didn't fly too close to the sun. I'm good here.
I mean, we did this in the summer where things were opening back up, not to the extent that they are now. And it's hard to remember, again, because of the timeline blurriness. But we did this where we opened up, and then for 2 more months, we were shut down. We did this recently, so you wouldn't be the first to it, because we actually had the first space monkeys go into space, and then we all got sick again. So now I think we're second, but we're still getting sick again.
Well, then follow the pattern, and maybe we shouldn't be doing this right now.
Yeah. But I am.
But hey, I don't know. Have fun at the game. I'll be at home.
I do think.
Mike,
I do
have
think
fun
that
at the game. Hope you live.
I do think that the game is safe. Like, I'm not going to a Flanagan's right now in a closed area. But
I'd rather go to Flanagan's.
I would love to go to a Flanagan's.
Those rib rolls.
But I do think. I mean, I have this in sort of things I want to talk about. Remember when that Thursday nighter happened between the Texans and Chiefs, and the Chiefs put out a press release saying,
a
fan got COVID, but check out this contact tracing. Since then, I don't know if you've noticed, Jason, that's the only fan that has had COVID go into a sporting event, because there have been no more press releases. It's factual. Name me another fan that has had COVID that has gone to a sporting event. You can't.
We had my partner at work covered a Bears game at Atlanta and in the press box. And like 2 days later, he got an email from the Falcons saying, hey, you know, I hope you enjoyed the game, but by the way, someone in the press box tested positive Sunday. I'm like, oh, great.
But no fans have gotten it.
No fans have caught it, Mike. Other than that one. And you know what? He probably was doing something dumb, like, you know, greeting everybody with an open mouth kiss or something.
Yeah.
Licking railings, stuff
right,
like that.
You know, typical, like, you know, just not listening to the CDC kind of stuff.
It is odd how everything sort of changed. In the beginning, it was like, you can't touch anything. You have to hand sanitize constantly.
Yeah.
You have to wear gloves everywhere. And then we realized, oh, it's a respiratory virus. You shouldn't just like touch a table and rub your eye anyway, but that's not necessarily how you get this thing. I am curious to see how Saturday goes, because I'll absolutely bounce if I feel uncomfortable. There have been moments where I go to like a park. I went to a park just last week for someone's birthday, and it wasn't a 7-year-old. It was a 36-year-old man. But that was, hey, we want everybody to feel safe. And people were like 6 feet away. It was awkward. And then people started getting closer together. And I was like, all right, bye. I just made a nice, kind exit. I am a little interested to see, because the Hard Rock Stadium has had the ability, apparently, for weeks, because Governor DeSantis said, hey, everybody's allowed in. We don't care about social distancing anymore.
All rules are off in Florida.
Yes, but the Dolphins and the Hurricanes have capped attendance at 13,000 following CDC guidelines. So there is naturally enough space in there to make this work. I'm wondering if at any point I will feel uncomfortable because they're not serving alcohol still there. I think food service is someone comes to your seat and takes your order. I am curious to see what it's like because this is a primetime Hurricanes game. It is going to be the most diluted version of what for me is something that I look forward to on the football calendar. You get a nighttime game at Hard Rock Stadium with the Hurricanes. You have this rock and tailgate. I wonder if I'm just going to be bummed the entire time of how cool this once was. And it may make me just shut it down completely. I'm not interested in these diluted versions. I'll wait another 6 months till hopefully we can start veering out into normal again.
No, I think you'll enjoy it. And like you can joke about how the Dolphins have played for the last couple of decades, but the way that they're actually run as an organization, like Tom Garfinkel, for example, the way that he's going to oversee that stadium, the way that he has been overseeing all their safety protocol, and they, you know, they own the stadium, whether the Hurricanes are playing there or not. So it'll be a lot of their protocols and precautions in place. I think that if anybody I am aware of or know in sports is going to make sure that things are run safely and professionally and still make it enjoyable, like the Dolphins, the people that actually run that side of the Dolphins, the business side, Tom Garfinkel and his people could probably do that.
I
think you're going to have a good time. I think you're going to have fun.
Jason, I'm not at all worried about how the Dolphins and Hard Rock Stadium are approaching this. My worry is Hurricanes fans.
People?
My worry is, look, if you're going to a football game, and I'll lump myself in there, if you're going to a football game during a global pandemic, you're obviously not as concerned by this thing as most people are. The right decision is to not go to this. I'm trying this out. I have my apprehensions, but I want to be able to go to a game with my wife and have, like, I got a one-year-old. I got a babysitter. I want to see if I can have a good time relatively under these circumstances. But I am worried because football fans, who had this bit on our show? Like, oh, it was Brockmire. It's like, if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan and you're just chomping at the bit to go to a football stadium, you're probably more inclined to boo at a national anthem protest. He just threw it out there, and it made sense. I don't think Miami Hurricanes fans are going to be quite respectful of this, and I hope that Hard Rock Stadium doesn't even allow for dumbassness.
This is one of the new big awkward things. Chris, I'm the guest on the show. This is one of the new awkward things of like, I, on the scale of being cautious about this and trying not to die, I'm like a 9 out of 10. I'm not doing anything like, I'm not going to any kind of game like that except for work where it's in a controlled environment where everyone's spaced out and wearing masks in the press box or whatever. But then like, if I'm at a 9, I got friends and family members that are at like a 3. I got friends and family members that would be happy to be in Florida right now. And that's the new awkward is like, how do I have dinner with somebody who like almost doesn't even think this is real when I'm wearing a mask to the grocery store and planning on doing that for the next year.
That's honestly the worst part about a lot. I mean, obviously there's worse parts, but like when you are, you have to trust that the people in your circles are like being responsible. And I see that there's people that are not being responsible, right? And then I'll go do things. And it's like, well, I'm like the a-hole that has like a mask on at things. And I'm like the jerk that like is doing this and that. It's like, no, I just don't trust you. Like, I don't trust the decisions that you're making, and it's going to impact me. But I'm the one that looks like the jerk in these situations.
Yeah, and you always sound judgmental. You're like, yeah, sure, the kids can play together, but we need the kids to wear a mask. Or hey, you know, nothing personal or anything, but like, we're going to eat outside because personally, I don't trust how you're handling this.
I don't say that. I just like awkwardly.
But you think it. But you think it. You think it.
I mean. No, but
that's the vibe that comes off when you're telling someone, like when you're the one that's more cautious and the person you're talking to is less cautious.
Here's the thing.
How do you finesse this one, Billy? Teach me.
If you're not going to be cautious, don't put on social media that you're not being cautious for the whole world to see everything that you're up to and everyone that you're, you know, hanging out with is up to, because yeah. then I'm doing my own tracing and I'm like looking to see, and I'm like, yeah, you were like in a, you know, like a restaurant with a bunch of people dancing. Like, I don't know who else you're encountering. Cause if I'm seeing what this is happening, I don't know what's going on that I'm not seeing that you're getting into.
Look at you,
Roy.
Two.
This must be perfect for you, Roy. You must love the pandemic. Like, you don't have to be near anyone. You don't have to talk to anyone. You can wear a mask.
That's exactly right, Jason. You are absolutely right. I'm not.
These are high times for Roy.
I'm very happy.
I'm just like marveling at Billy and Jason bonding. Like, well, you guys are the same people. It seems like
the thing for Roy too is that like you can just say like, "Well, it's the pandemic. Better safe than sorry." Like, no, I can't go to this thing because of the right. pandemic. Like, I'm not. I'd love to be there, but you know, I got to think of my family, and you know, I have a daughter, Claire. I can't just, you know, it's not worth it right now. And yeah, people can't really fight you on that.
All of that, but condensed down to about four words, probably.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Roy's just one word, no.
Yeah. I know where everyone is coming from on the pandemic. My view on it is a little warped because I never stopped commuting. I just wore a mask and tried to be careful as like the entire world was burning. I still got in my car, and even though it was far from normal, I still had my established routine. So at
and
this,
thank God that you did, Mike, as an essential worker, as someone that the world couldn't survive without. Like, thank God that you did, Mike.
I'm not looking for a thank you. I'm just trying to explain.
No. You don't have to say that you're a hero, Mike. I'll say it for you.
I'm just trying to explain where I have now established several months of veering out and following proper protocols and haven't gotten burned by it, that I'm far more apt to go to something like a Miami Hurricanes game on a Saturday just because I've had all this experience going out, commuting every day, still doing the work thing, wearing my mask and not getting sick. So I know Billy used flying closer to the sun. I'm probably the most apt to do that just because I haven't ceased doing it.
I'm with you. I've gone to a couple restaurants here and there. Like, I've tried to do the whole mask thing and like
indoors. You know,
I've gone to one restaurant indoors. Like, yeah. I mean, it's separated.
Look at
you
Jason,
wear a mask.
Look at Jason judging you, thinking now that he has to quarantine yes. for 14 days just because he's sharing a Zoom with you, Chris.
Just for, I need, let me go get a mask. Hold
you
on.
Do
just
realize
for the Zoom
like,
call, I need a mask.
Like, a lot of people are doing that. Like, it's supposed to be safe. Like, you know, everyone's wearing a mask. Like, you know. Oh, like, I love all these. Like, Tony, you were working out at a gym like 2 days ago. Oh, like, get out. Like,
hold on.
This is where it unravels, man. This is where it unravels.
That's the difference. I don't
everyone's
like the high horse.
On each other, and somehow there's me people. And Jason are together in the middle there's, watching
yeah,
because,
out to stand my
me and,
asshole.
Me and Billy are the only ones, and probably Roy because he's antisocial, are the only ones telling the truth. We're the only, everyone's like, oh, yeah, we're being very careful.
I restaurant.
I am going to a restaurant. I am going to a Hurricanes game. I did go work out at a gym, but you know, but I'm being very careful.
I'm also a homebody, so this is not that difficult for me. I'm just like, you know, at the beginning, I'm like, man, this is gonna be a really big change. And then like a couple weeks in, I'm like, this is pretty much my everyday life.
Yeah, the problem here, like you guys live in Miami, which is great. But the problem here is that it's going to start being 40 degrees like today. So it's going to be a little bit harder for us to be outside starting like now, right now today.
And to clear my name, Chris, it's only me and my trainer who are at the gym, so nobody's there, and he mm-hmm. doesn't have COVID, and I always wear my mask no matter what. So
the trainer is very careful, guys. The trainer doesn't go to restaurants or Miami
Hurricane. He's only working out with you.
And it's okay, that you, it's okay that you don't know him personally.
I'm not judging
Tony
you, Tony. See, I'm not judging you. Years. You made a face judging me, and I'm just saying, like, look, there's, like, at some point, like, I'm sorry. I've sat inside one time. I've gone to like four restaurants. Like, shoot me.
Okay, Chris, but the whole point is the problem with society is that people decided the pandemic's over and decided that restaurants are okay to sit inside. It's not true.
The president told us it's over, by the way.
Oh.
Another dead fish. I'm with you, Chris, because I'm also the most dangerous member in the shipping container in terms of just putting my face into this pandemic. Have the occasional dinner at a restaurant. Just make sure you're adhering to social distance guidelines and washing your hands. Go for it, man. Just go for it.
I love that Anthony, is it Anthony or Tony?
You can call me whatever, it's fine.
No, I want to call you what you want to be called.
We have this argument a lot, and it's not even an argument. It's just a discussion.
It's your name, like, man. It's your name.
He likes being called Ant.
All right. I love that you just declared factually as though you are a doctor that your trainer the doesn't trainer your trainer's does. COVID free.
Yeah.
Yes. Like he might not have even known that till he hears this, so he'll be very happy to hear
it. Right, but I'm sure, Jason, have you gone to a grocery store? Like, we're all doing stuff. Like, you have, like, I'm sure you go to the store. Like, I'm not saying,
I wear a mask and I'm in and out. Like, and that's something I have to do. I have to have food or we're not going
to
live, Chris.
I
don't have to go to a Hurricanes game or go sit inside a Flanagan's.
Speak for yourself. I need that.
I'm with you. I agree. Like, yeah.
I need the Flanagan's chicken Philly blackened in my life. I miss it. Yeah,
I got a good deal on that now, Mike. I get an email from Flanagan's all the time. $6.99 Philly Dilly.
Honestly, Flanagan's, it feels like it feels like a testing site now with their rigorous pickup system. Yes. It feels pretty cool, but I don't.
No. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I still don't want to actually dine in a Flanagan's. I have dined in certain like steakhouses. But specifically a Flanagan's, I feel like I'm playing with fire if I decide to, you know, choose a dine-in option there.
The COVID judging thing, not like that a lot of people are doing, is I feel like it's similar to my take on the whole shopping carts thing. Everybody judges me because I say that I don't always return my shopping cart, yet there are a ton of shopping carts out in the parking lot. I feel like there's a lot of people out there that are throwing stones with this whole COVID stuff. And then it's like, well, if you really look at it, and I'm not saying, Tony, you were doing that. I'm just saying.
You were looking
like,
right at me in the Zoom.
Because you, like, when I said I went to
the
restaurant.
The numbers would indicate, Chris, you're not the only one going out to restaurants.
Right. My point is that, like, there's a lot. Like, I've gone to a restaurant and I didn't eat there because there was a wait. Like, I'm not the only one. There are ways to, the government is telling you, and believe me, that's a whole thing, that there are ways to do that, like, ways to do this safely. And I'm just saying, you know, I just feel like a lot of people throw stones from glass.
Well, just spray a bunch of Lysol down your throat, and that's how you do it safely, Chris. You're right. Just follow what the government tells us.
Before we say goodbye to Jason and get because we're running out of time, a short but definitive answer on Chicago deep dish pizza. I do want to put a bow on this entire discussion and break the news to all of you. This comes courtesy of MSNBC that the United States reports a new single-day record of 77,640 new coronavirus cases. The previous high was 75,000, so we're number one.
Well, have fun at the football game then, Mike.
Anyone want to do dinner tonight?
Pandemic's over.
I will say that it is, I totally get the people being super cautious, and I'm not ever going to tell anybody that anything in that regard. But being someone that's ventured out and not gotten sick, it's not like I can just wave a flag in the air and just celebrate. Yay me! I've taken all these perceived risks, but I've actually been careful out there. You can't really celebrate someone for doing that. At the end of the day, when we're all through this thing and we both have had the exact number of positive cases between us, despite someone being locked in a basement with a red container next to them and someone that's been commuting every day, I just kind of feel like if we're careful, then that could be enough. There's just not enough people being remotely careful right now and playing with fire. And you just have to assume that and maybe not be Anthony, who just says, take my word for it, my trainer doesn't have COVID.
Okay, hold on. Let me clear
you. Wow. Okay, everyone's turning on each other now,
yeah,
Jason.
Yeah, hold on a second. I've known my trainer for 15 years. He's a dear friend of mine. He gets tested every week for his clients. And the most recent test has shown that he is COVID negative, as the last 20 have shown.
Okay, I don't believe you that.
When was his last negative test?
According to him.
Yes, thank you, Dan. See, Dan was sitting there
the whole time. All right, Jason, before we say goodbye.
That was Dan?
That was Dan, yeah. Before we say goodbye to you, Jason, because we have to wrap up because we've got Big Suey next. Tony, I know it's very unfair to not allow you to defend yourself there, but your trainer is COVID. Deep dish pizza. What's the deal with that? What's better, Chicago deep dish style pizza or the regular pizza? Chris, this has been a burning topic of yours for some time once Jason was welcomed into the Zoom. Definitive answer, Jason Leisure.
Let's tease it for next time.
Wow!
I gets it.